Fiery trials. Let's I'll start us off with a verse here, Mike. Hey, by the way, you see that new animation we got? That'll be at the start of our video here. What do you think about that? Pretty good, right?
I like it. But you didn't do an intro or anything. Come on.
Didn't do an intro?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, you
intro us.
Come on.
You've been around long enough. Hey, this is Thin Line Believers. Adam and Pastor Mike with you today. There's a lot of insanity going on in the world right now, Mike. And, you know, we were just talking about how the World Economic Forum is meeting right now, how we got all these very worldly people, dude, meeting there in Davos or whatever that is. And on top of that, dude, we got shortages of well, around here, dude, we got shortages of hay. So your livestock, you know, you got shortages of that because of the drought season. Let's see. We got shortages of formula. That's been insane. You can't tell me that's not planned and calculated. And of course the fuel stuff. I mean, how much are we paying for fuel right now? You're in Arizona. What are you paying for fuel right now?
Last week it was $4.69. This week it was $4.99.
Yeah, I think we might have broke $5 here. And that's calculated, man. That is entirely calculated. You don't shut down every avenue for fuel in the United States, you know, for producing our own fuel and then blame it on Putin. I mean,
yes,
insane.
Yeah.
And I say insane, but it's totally calculated. You know, this is the work of the enemy. So if you don't think we're living in the end times, man, you're not reading your Bible. So anyway, and I don't say that to scare anybody. I say that because we need to be looking up. We need to be looking up because it's entirely possible we may disappear at any time. So, Well, let's talk about fiery trials today, man. I got the verse to kick us off too. This comes from 1 Peter chapter 4, and it's going to be verse 12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Verse 13, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Now, I like this. He says, rejoice when you get to partake in Christ's sufferings. Mike, you're teaching in the book of Acts, and it was just a couple chapters back when the apostles were thrown in jail. They were persecuted. They were brought before the Sanhedrin, and the Sanhedrin didn't know what to do with them, right? Because they escaped jail. You know, the angel let them out of jail, and then they were back in the temple courts preaching, and they didn't know what to do with these folks. And so they said, yeah, we told you before, quit talking about Jesus. We're going to tell you again, don't talk about Jesus. And then we're going to have you scourged, right?
Yep.
You know,
yep.
40 minus one. And sure enough, they're beaten within an inch of their life. I'm sure that's why they, you know, it was 40 minus one, because they figured 40 was a death sentence, right? 40 lashes. And what did the apostles do? They went away rejoicing.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Awesome. I can't imagine. You know, I've never been scourged, never been beaten like that for my faith. You know, I've been looked at funny. You know, but even called some bad names on social media, but never been beaten. So anyway, fiery trials, man.
Well, let's pray and then we'll get into this.
Let's do that.
Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to have this chance to share on fiery trials, to do this podcast, Lord, and those that are listening. Lord, we pray that you would be able to give them some tools, some verses to hold on to. And Lord, as Thin Line Believers, we go through some sort of police fire tactical training, Lord, and there's always something that we can glean off of and to use in our daily lives. And just ask that, Lord, we would be able to provide a a spiritual element, an aspect for our brothers and sisters in the badge, behind the badge, Lord. And so speak to us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You know, speaking of the World Economic Forum and Davos,
it seems like... By the way,
you just got canceled. We haven't said anything.
I'm sure we did after that.
But we haven't said anything.
I know, but it's, you know, we weren't praising them. Anyway, go on.
Anyways, I haven't said anything. But
you're about to.
But what I'm about to, you know, these guys that are leading in the WEF and even in our own country. All this stuff isn't happening by, you know, by accident. And as I've been going through the book of Acts, there's hope for even these people that are in this administration and worldwide, because as the disciples were preaching and sharing, and where it says that even the priests came to faith, mm-hmm. you know, and they are ones that were in the up and up group, right? But obviously they see the hand of God. So there's a changing of heart. And, you know, if God could reach like the likes of King Nebuchadnezzar, Saul of Tarsus, then God could reach anybody. We just mm-hmm. need to pray for that. And the thing that I've noticed over the years, I was just talking to my kids about this before we jumped on. I'm not on any drugs as I'm saying this, but I've learned to embrace trials. I've learned to embrace pain. You know, the regional CrossFit games are on, right? I've watched a few replays. Especially the team. I love the team CrossFit now. And Richard Froning and Team Mayhem, they killed it again, right?
Yeah.
But you and I both know that you have to go through a little bit of pain to get to where you want to be physically. You know, mm-hmm. if you want to be good at push-ups, you do push-ups. If you want to be good at squats, you do squats, right? If you want to be a better breacher or a tactical person or, you know, entry fire guy, you got to practice that to get better. And with that, there's a little bit of discomfort, a little bit of pain, but there's also a little bit of joy that comes with it. Cause there's in that struggle, in that stretching, you succeed and you're just like, yeah. Right. And you were mentioning the disciples, their lives were changed by Jesus Christ and they suffered for Jesus. And could you imagine being a disciple? The Lord takes away Ananias and Sapphira in chapter 5, right? And then there's God's blessed subtractions. You know, God's way of doing math is interesting because after that happened, the Lord multiplied the church, right? Added to the mm-hmm. church. And so, and then they go out and they're preaching the same yahoos that brought Jesus to Pontius Pilate are the same yahoos that are persecuting the early church. And so, I've just learned, you know, like Paul says, in weakness that God may be glorified, showed strong. And I think that's where a lot of Christians, how do I say this spiritually? When you're suffering, can you be thankful and grateful for that suffering? Right? Like all of us can remember back to going back to the academy, right? Running in heavy boots, you know, trying to run in cadence and, you know, you're doing push-ups, you're on the verge of, you know, throwing up, you got blisters and, you know, at the end of the day when it's all said and done and you're graduating, you're like, yeah, it was worth it. You know, embrace the suck, right? Mm-hmm. well, who is it? Jocko always says discipline equals freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, those that embrace pain well, those that embrace suffering well, those that embrace trainings well, are, I believe, those that will say, yes, I suffered for Jesus. You know, a buddy of mine posted, I don't know who the guy was, but I'll just look it up for you real quick so I get the quote right, where it talks about how no sailor has ever been a skilled sailor through an easy sea or something like that. But I'll have it for you right here. It says, a smooth sea never made a skilled sailor. Franklin D. Roosevelt. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think, you know, us here in the United States, we've had it fairly easy. And I think there are some scary times that are going to come. Question is, have we prepared ourselves through our personal struggles and walks to the Lord, where we can say, thank you for that trial, because it's made me stronger. So that when another storm comes, right, we're prepared for it. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I'm sure you've been through some multi-casualty incidents where, was there mistakes made? I'm sure there was. Was there some successes? Yes. And, you know, when you do the, you know, after action report and you get together, what did we do good? What did we do wrong? What can we do better? And next time a similar incident happens, you kind of have an idea what to do.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes Christians get this tunnel vision of, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Right. Because you and I both know there's people like, bam, chaos comes alive. And they're just like, oh, well, let's just pray and let's just seek the Lord. And then you have the other ones that are warriors, you know, not like a physical warrior, but the, you know, Eeyore worry, like, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you've been there. Like, we've worked with officers and firefighters. You're just like, yeah, go join the other team. You're going to get me killed. But I think in fire trials, you never know what you're really made of until you're in hot water, right? You never know how a good, you know, you never know what a tea bag is like until it's in hot water.
Mm-hmm.
So for a Christian to go through fiery trials, it's not necessarily the trial in and of itself, but how we respond to that trial, right? My response is my responsibility. So in my response, how is my responding to that trial? Is it one that's going to glorify God? Is it one that I know that God has a plan for me because the Bible says so? I have scriptures that backs that up and moving forward. Because we're living in an unprecedented time that I've ever seen in my 40 plus years of life. Like, I was looking at the gas prices and I was like, are you kidding me? 13 gallons and I'm almost getting to $100, you know? So, and just because I'll share this, just because I shared it yesterday, you know, Stephen, before the council in the book of Acts chapter 7, brings up, you know, several key names like Abraham, Joseph, Moses. But the one thing I focused on in Acts chapter 7, verses 8 through 16 is the fact that Joseph was one who is a typology of Jesus Christ, but when he was betrayed by his brothers, he was sold by his brothers, they stole his coat, and he was just constantly being in a position of being betrayed, belittled, and over a, you know, years period, God had a plan to have him be the governor in Egypt. And in Genesis 50:20, when he faced his brothers, right, he said, hey, though you meant it for evil, God meant it for good. Mm-hmm. And
to save,
to save many. And so, you know, I shared with the church yesterday, sometimes the sufferings and the hurts and the pains that we go through is not for us, but it's so that how we can minister to others, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, how we might be able to comfort others with the same comfort that we receive.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. You remind me of my least favorite verse in the whole Bible. Because it's true. My brethren, James 1, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. My church yesterday, the pastor quoted part of what Chuck Swindoll said, but I'm gonna quote a little more here. If you don't know who Chuck Swindoll is, he's freaking awesome. He was a Marine years ago, old fella. Anyway, the longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. Attitude to me is more important than facts. It is more important than the past, the education, the money, than circumstances, than failure, than successes, than what other people think or say or do. It is more important than appearance, giftedness, or skill. It will make or break a company, a church, a home. The remarkable thing is we have a choice every day regarding the attitude we will embrace for that day. We cannot change our past. We cannot change the fact that people will act in a certain way. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play on the one string we have, and that is our attitude. I am convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% of how I react to it. And so it is with you. We are in charge of our attitudes. I think that's a big part of facing trials is how do we go into it? You know, I can go into it with a victim mindset. You know, if you're in law enforcement or, you know, if you're a firefighter or a veteran, one of the first things they try to do is train out of you that victim mindset, right? Mm-hmm. You're not going to go to battle. You're not going to go to war as a victim. Otherwise, you've already lost. And so we have to expect trials because, like it or not, they're going to come. The Bible says that over and over again. In fact, I hate it when, you know, we have prosperity preachers that want to teach people that, you know, once you're a Christian, the trials go away, that it's all easy peasy, lemon squeezy, right? But it's not. It's not at all. It's it becomes more difficult. In fact, Jesus promised that it would be difficult. And for somebody to say that's false, well, that's false. And it's contrary to what we should expect. So if you are, you know, a person of faith and you're thinking, well, I should have it easy. Why am I having it so difficult? It must be a lack of faith. And I've heard people say that too. Well, you're going through this because, you know, you just don't have enough faith. You're sick because of your lack of faith. You know, you're supposed to be healed, but you're sick because of that lack of faith. No, that's just stupid. I mean, even Paul went through life with an ailment, not sure what it was. You know, some people believe it was an eye issue or whatever. It doesn't matter what it was. You know, he said that he prayed 3 times that it would be taken from him. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you. Mm-hmm. So God didn't take away his ailment. He said, no, because you have that, you're going to depend on me now. And I think that's what I'm learning as I go through trials is I don't get stronger. You know, it's entirely possible that I actually get weaker. Mm-hmm. But as a result of that, I become more dependent, is what it is. I become more dependent on God. And I believe that's what he desires from us. That's where we should be, is we should be fully dependent on him. You know, he told Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you." And Paul went on to say, "Therefore, I boast all the more on my weaknesses." Mm-hmm. Because in my weakness, then I am strong. See, he knew his strength came from above. It didn't come from his own, you know, his own will or his own willpower. But he wasn't a victim either. You know, he didn't lay down and take it. He depended on God. And God's not into this victimhood.
Yep.
Are you drawing a picture?
No, I'm just writing some notes down as you're speaking.
Oh, I thought you were going to share a picture.
Yeah, it's a post-it note.
Oh, okay.
Now, while you're talking, I wrote down the word fortitude and resilience. Hmm. You know, in the military and police and fire, the MPF, military, police and fire, you know, we talk about, you know, they hire these clinical psychologists or whatever to talk about fortitude and resiliency, which I think it's important. And I think, how can I say this without stepping on people's toes in a bad way? Christians ought to be displaying resiliency and fortitude. You know what I mean? And I say that because we have this, right? This helps us.
And for those listening, he is talking about the word.
Yeah. I held up a Bible. and, you know, I've said this before in previous recordings. Zig Ziglar said, "You are who you are and what you are for what you put into your mind. Change who you are and what you are by changing what you put into your mind." And fortitude and resiliency, in my opinion, if I'm in the Word of God daily, whether it's physically opening up my Bible, listening to the Bible on audio, or listening to a podcast on the Bible, whatever, and you're growing spiritually, God uses those things to help us overcome, you know, areas of weaknesses. And remember that story of Elijah, and then there's Elisha. When Elijah, I'll call him EJ, when EJ is getting ready to be taken up, right? Mm-hmm. His, you know, underling Elisha had to be kind of shown that opportunity when he saw the chariots outside his tent. Oh my gosh, he was Eeyore. Like, he was the warrior, right? W-O-R-R-I-E-R, right? He was a warrior. Oh my gosh, there's chariots. You know, his mentor, Elijah, right, EJ, God's got a bigger army. And I think sometimes our eyes deceive us. And the more I attain and read the Word of God, and the more I pray, the more I listen to worship songs, the more I listen to Scripture, the stronger and more resilient I'm going to become. So that when life struggles comes, you know, cancer doesn't care if you're a police officer, if you're a firefighter. Was it Elijah? Yeah, anyways. those of you listening, Pastor Adam's looking it up. But you remember that story. Anywho. Yep.
It's a good one.
And where, you know, all of us that's, you know, been in the military, police and fire, MPF, right? We go through a season of boot camp or basic academy. Then you go through your rookie season. Then you go through your season in your early years to become a veteran. Then you become a veteran. But during that time, there's all the training, all the remedial training, all the different exercises that you do so that you become proficient in whatever it is. So too, when you and I are reading the Word of God, and I admit that there are times when you don't, you know, I don't want to read. There are times when I'm like, I'm too tired. And, you know, those of you that are listening, I feel as though my vision is getting weaker as I'm getting older. You know, I'll be 49 this year, even though I don't look it, you know.
Clean living.
Hey, Asians don't raisin, as they say, bro. I just made Adam's day.
Yes, he did.
He's going to look at California raisins. Oh, that Mike. He ruined it for me. But, you know, no matter how bad I feel, you know, we eat because whether we're hungry or not, but we need to eat to survive physically. So too, in order to survive spiritually and in this world emotionally, we need to take in the Word of God. There are days I remember, you know, working, you know, overnights, and then you get that one incident at the last hour of your shift, and next thing you know, you're just like, it's my Friday and I gotta finish the report, and you're just like, oh, right? But those are the type of days where, you know what, open up your Bible app and listen to the Bible, mm-hmm. you know, versus trying to force yourself to read the Bible on paper, get a highlighter and a pen, and you're dogged on tired, right? You want to take opportunity of your drive home then. You know what? I'm going to open up the book of Genesis or whatever book. You know, if it's a 20-minute drive, open up to Pauline's epistles and pick a book and just start listening to it as you're driving. And you're, you know, you're hearing the Word of God. Okay? Let Him hear what the Spirit says. So I think that's a great way to build resiliency and a fortitude so that when trials come, you're like, I remember this verse. You know, like you just read in James chapter 1. Consider it all joy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, was Paul on drugs when he wrote this?
Right.
He was James. Under the influence, right? Or, I mean, yeah. James was. James yeah. was under the influence of the Spirit when he wrote that, right?
Right.
And who is James? He's the half-brother of Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And he knows firsthand what he saw his brother Jesus go through. And he saw his brother not complain, who's Jesus, you know? But yeah, go ahead. You're going to say something?
I guess I will. I think it does come back to when you're going through these trials, what is your attitude toward that trial? And that's going to dictate. That's really going to dictate how you feel throughout the trial. You know, you can take a trial on and say, man, this is horrible. I'm going to curl up in a ball and just shut down. And that's a tendency for me to do, is to shut down when I deal with different things, certain things. But it never does anybody any good. That's the wrong kind of attitude. Instead, you know, I should be prepared to give it to God. And because I believe our God likes to wow us.
Hmm.
You know, I really do. I think that God likes to impress us with His abilities. But we have to allow Him to take charge of our situations. And the bigger, the harder, the more difficult a situation is, the more of a wow factor there's going to be when God steps in at just the right time and deals with our situations. And I believe that your reference here to Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 6 is awesome, because what he says is, do not fear those who are, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And that's when he prays that God open the eyes of the servant to see the hills, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the amount of people on the hills. And I'm always reminded, when I read this section of scripture, I'm always reminded of, have you seen Quigley Down Under?
No.
You have not? Okay. It's, oh my gosh. Okay.
When did it come out?
I don't know, the 90s?
So, I gotta look this up.
It's Quigley. Tom Selleck, man. Quigley Down Under.
Okay, I gotta look
watch
it up.
The movie. Watch the movie. So at the end of the movie, here's Quigley. He was just dragged into this arena, this horse arena, by horse, you know, hands tied, dragged into this place. He gets into a gunfight. And then the local little quasi-military shows up to arrest him. And as they're standing there, this massive Aborigine tribe shows up on the hill line, on the horizon. And you see just these hundreds of tribesmen. And so the little military that was there, well, they smarten up real quick and decide, okay, we're not going to mess with this guy. And they ride off. There's the movie. Look at that mustache, dude.
Yeah. That's why you watched it.
That's why I watched it. But anyway, that's what that reminds me of. So if the listener, you know, has seen the movie because they're Americans, then they'll know what I'm talking about. But it's a good cowboy movie, dude. So,
all right.
Anyway, that's what it reminds me of. And it's even that, you know, it comes down to Elisha knew who his father was. And so he was able to have that attitude. You know, if you don't know the God that we serve, then you're probably already thinking that you're going to be a victim of whatever's coming. I mean, we're living in end times. Look around. Everything is against the Christian right now.
Mm-hmm.
So it is so easy. If you don't know who our Father is and you haven't read this book, then you can say for sure, oh man, this trial is going to eat me up. I am done. But, you know, or what is the, was it Isaiah that said, I am undone?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what we could say. But hopefully you know who your father is, because he's not a loser. He's not a victim. I mean, he's the victor. If you have read the back of the book, you know, I remember being in high school and in junior high, and our math book would have generally every other question, right? They would have the answer to every other question in the back of the book so that you could check your work, right? So you go to the back.
Answers in the back of the book.
Answers in the back of the book. And last time I checked, reading Revelation 19 through 22, God is the victor. You know?
You know, I think I'm going to have to become a cowboy because, you know, doesn't Jesus come out riding on a horse?
Yeah, he sure does. Yeah,
I'm gonna have to start riding some horses.
Get you some boots, man. You're in the right place.
Hey, I still wear my sandals. Come on.
Please don't. Please don't.
Hey, come on. Jesus wore sandals.
Yeah, but I don't think he's wearing those coming back, man.
Warrior sandals, bro. Warrior sandals.
Not warrior.
Warrior. Not warrior. Warrior.
Okay. It sounds the same to me when you say it.
I know. Warrior.
There you go. You were taking notes again. You got anything else?
No. You know, you said attitude.
An attitude of gratitude, Mike.
Who's our brother? Life Without Limbs. What's his name?
Oh yeah,
Nick Vujicic.
Sure, that last name.
Don't ask me to spell it, but it's Nick Vujicic. He's, you know, obviously he was born without limbs.
Uh-huh.
And I remember him saying, I don't know if he's the one that came up with it, but And, you know, if you go to Hobby Lobby in the men's section, there, you know, they have those sayings that, you know, your attitude is your altitude. You know, have a good attitude and you'll make the difference in your altitude. And you've been there, like when you were a trainee versus when you became a trainer, and you have trainees that have good attitudes and the trainees that don't, and it makes a difference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether they fail or do good, they just have a good attitude. It changes, you know, your trajectory of how well you do in uniform. And again, you know, when I was in uniform, there are times I dropped a bomb, you know. I didn't do a scenario right, or in an incident, I dropped a bomb, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, dang it, that sucked. Well, I'll do better next time.
Mm-hmm.
And that really changes the aspect and the trajectory of the direction of where your FTO wants to take you, right? And even if the FTO is a total douchebag, like he hates your guts because you're a Christian. He hates your guts because you don't cuss. He hates your guts because you don't go drinking with them. You're like, oh, it's one of those. He's going to be, I have to be careful how I am and how I talk because he's so self-righteous, right?
Holier than thou.
Yeah. Man of the cloth. Okay, here we go. Can't watch porn because he's a Christian. It's like, what? But overall, you know, when you have a good attitude, you'll have a good altitude. You know, you'll be at a higher level. And, you know, where we need to be, so having lived out here in Arizona now for I don't know how many months, I didn't know there was bald eagles out here, to be honest with you. I was like, oh, wow. Got some hawks and turkey vultures. Those things are massive. And then you have all the little pesky other little birds.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the summers are getting hotter out here. And I'm noticing the birds going hotter because of the hot air just carrying them. But every time those birds peck at the birds, at the, you know, the eagles, they don't fight back. They just keep going higher and higher, you know, because eventually the little birds can't survive the pressure in their lungs because they're going so high. Mm-hmm. And I think those of us in the uniform, even though, you know, it's bad enough that the public has gone woke and cancel culture, it's sad that that's in uniform. When you see woke leaders and woke members, you have to somehow find strength to go higher.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the difficulty, you know, in Christianity today, because when you're wearing the uniform, you represent your country, but we all know that there's something different about strong Christians, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I always pray for Nick at night moments where you walk with the Lord in such a way that there's saltiness about you, that it's causing the other people to be thirsty. And, you know, like when members are diagnosed with cancer or they've lost a loved one, or, you know, the tragic stories of an officer or a firefighter coming up on scene, it's their family member, and you know they're DOA, they're dead on arrival.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not freaking out, you're like, oh, I still have to do my job.
Yeah.
You know? And then later on, everybody's like, dude, that was your brother or your sister or your wife, your husband. How are you handling this? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, right? And I think with a good attitude in times of trial, you're a warrior for Christ, W-A-R, right? Warrior for Christ versus a warrior in the church, so to speak, W-O-R, right? And if you have an attitude of prayer, attitude of praise, that will give you the altitude that where God can elevate you. And in that God is elevated in you. And, but when you worry, other people are going to look at you like, well, you're no different than everybody else. You're worrying and you're not trusting in your God. So why should I believe in your God?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, when my mom went through cancer, man, she embraced it like Leonidas from 300. You know, she's like, psh, God gave me cancer. God will take care of it. She embraced it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And other people are like, oh my gosh, you know. And I, you know, I've been through some things in life physically, and there are times when I was weak. When I had Bell's palsy, I was depressed. I had thoughts of suicide. I never had any plans, but I definitely had those thoughts of suicide. You know, I definitely had thoughts of depression, you know, and all that stuff. But at the same time, it's one of those things where greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And I just remember Pastor Chuck, even as a teenager, don't fall in the things you don't understand. Fall in the things that you do understand. Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. You're going to heaven. Period. And that's, you know, kind of what I stood on and fell on, because, you know, let's admit it. It's easier to take a Vicodin. It's easier to take some sort of, you know, la-la pill versus
shot of whiskey.
Yeah. You know, alcohol. And I had a chance to speak at the Bible, Calvary Bible Institute, this past week. And after the lecture, I had the recording cut because I went real and raw with the students there. They're like, what was it like to be a firefighter? What was it like to be, you know, a cop? And one of the questions asked of me was, what's the greatest temptations in public safety? I said, sex, alcohol, and drugs. Sex, mm-hmm. alcohol, and drugs kills pastors and their careers and their churches. Sex, alcohol, and drugs will kill a cop and a firefighter. It'll shoot their career. You know, other people use it to gain an advantage, but it has destroyed many officers. You know, when you're sleeping with your informant and, you know, all that crazy stuff. And these young kids were like, I thought that was just on, you know, NYPD, SVU on TV, you know, Chicago Blue or whatever. I was like, oh no, that's a light version of what happens in real life. And so,
yeah my, one of the guys that trained me years ago, he used to call it, and little disclaimer, I don't call women this, okay? But he would say, you know, booze, broads, and bills. Those are the three things that'll get you. And so you're 100% right, man. It was hitting the bottle or whatever substance, you know, mm-hmm. or it was sleeping around, and it was bills. I mean, you get people spend more than they earn. So you're right. You are right. I'll say this, though, and I've used this analogy before. So when we worry, you know, when we let the things of the world, and this works for whether it's worry or sin or whatever the case, and I personally think that worry is a sin, because I think that worry is saying, no, God, you can't get me through it this time.
Hmm. Yeah.
And, so any form of sin, you know, that's of the world. And we have a tendency to let the world get between us and God. And so it's kind of like an eclipse, right? If you let the world get between you and the sun, you're going to be living in the dark. You know, and so it's when we look to the sun that we can actually see the light. We have to get the world out of the way and look to the Creator and say, you, the Son, S-O-N, you know, you're the one who said, you will never leave me or forsake me. And you got to keep the world out of the way, because the world wants to be in the way. You know, Satan wants to be in the way and say, did God really say, just like he said to Eve in the garden, did God really say you can depend on him? Did God really say that he'll never leave you or forsake you? And he likes to create doubt, and the doubt leads to worry. And it's just it's a downhill, slippery slope from there. So anything else, Mike?
No, I like that.
So worry, I got, I'm going to share this. And Mike, I don't think I showed you this before. These are actually transparent, which actually makes it kind of cool. So you can see that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. We got us some new stickers. That's going to look good on my canopy right there.
Does it go on the inside or the outside?
It goes on the outside.
Okay.
Yep. Yep.
Is it 115 degree weatherproof?
I guess you'll find out, won't you? you'll put it on the top of your window. You'll get outside and it'll be at the bottom with nothing but a sticky streak down there, huh?
Yeah.
Got those. And then we got some of these too. I kind of like those.
Yeah.
Got the Jesus is King sticker there. And if you want some of those, hit me up. And if you do make an order through the website, we'll see if we can get you some of those out. We're not actually sending the orders out from here, but yeah, we'll work on that. We're also working on a conference, hopefully in October. As soon as we nail down a date, we'll share that info. But man, if you guys haven't been on the website, we got some new apparel on there. And you're thinking, why are you pushing apparel? I thought this was a ministry. This is a ministry. That's a separate business. That separate business there, the whole goal of that is to be able to, our dream is to be able to completely sponsor like a chaplaincy or a ministry or something like that, right? But having it as a business, I think that keeps us a little more accountable to the money that's being spent. So that's why that's a separate business in and of itself. But yeah, so we got some good things coming, guys and gals.
Yeah. Nope.
We're pretty excited.
Nope. Hmm? Nope. I don't have anything else.
You got nothing? Like you could see me looking at you like, come on, man. Cool.
Well, I'll say this. I'm seeing too many videos of officers making decisions. They're hesitant because of the wokeness, you know, and I don't know how to say this. If you're at a place and you can't do your job, take advantage of a leave of absence, go to EAP or whatever, find a chaplain, find a pastor, find a priest or whatever your faith is. But obviously for us, we're Christ believing. But my encouragement to all of you that are wearing the uniform, turn to God. Mm. You know, turn to God, because in the military, police, and fire, we might not make it home. And if that incident or that call ever comes, I hope you know the Lord. And not to bring up the subject of heaven and hell. I think we talked about this in past episodes. We talked about how Jesus spoke of hell quite often. And, you know, in hell, you can still see, you can still hear. And that's for eternity.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to encourage those of you that are wearing the uniform, stay the course, stay the fight, and don't find yourself on Instagram making a decision that you hesitated and it costed your life or your partner's life.
Yeah. You know?
And, yeah.
Well, that is why it's so incredibly important that we are saved. The Bible doesn't give an extremely detailed description of hell, but two characteristics of hell that have always stuck with me. Jesus said, where fire's never quenched, worm never dies. That's freaking horrible and horrifying. But you have to choose to go there. You know, it's in Revelation where it says that that your name can be blotted out of the book of life, which tells me that everyone's name starts out, I believe, written in the book of life. Right? He doesn't say earn your way to having your name written in the book of life, but it says that he has the ability to blot your name out of the book of life. And that's what sends you to hell. And it's not his will that any should perish. So if you don't have a relationship with Christ, please don't wait. You know, the Bible says that now is the day of salvation. So with that, you know, the way to get saved, I mean, you have to believe, obviously, acknowledge that you're a sinner, because we all are. That should be an easy thing for you to do. Believe in the Lord and then call upon his name. And as part of that, you know, you'll be called to repent. But repentance is a continual thing, dude. I mean, I have to repent constantly for what I do. So with that, man, we could keep stretching this thing out, but why don't I pray us out? Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing Michael and I together today to share the word with whoever wants to listen. And thank you for the listener, Lord. We pray that you'll bless them, keep them, make your face to shine upon them, turn your countenance toward them, and give them peace, a peace that surpasses understanding. And Lord, if they're struggling through trials right now, we ask that you would provide them with an attitude of gratitude. Show them all the good things that you have done for them, that you do for us, and turn them to you, Lord, that they may see how incredibly faithful you are, especially in times of trial. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, guys. See you next time.
God bless you guys.